Blog Talk Radio. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. It's great to have you join us today. I have a very special guest. His name is Nelson Brown. He's a millennial, and he's going to be speaking from a man's perspective about how it feels to battle low self-esteem, depression, and loneliness. Nelson was suicidal in his freshman year of high school due to his weight problem and rejection by his peers. After his sophomore year, he lost 70 pounds and began working on his self-esteem and self-image. He's now author of the book, The Beauty in Us, Our Reality, and he encourages children, teens, and young adults by letting them know they don't have to be perfect and they can overcome their struggles without being perfect. Welcome to the show, Nelson. It's so wonderful having you here with me today.
Thank you very much, Mari. I'm so glad that, you know, you've given me this opportunity to share my story, and all of the listeners can, you know, hear my story, and I can just share with them, you know, my expertise and my insight on what it means to struggle with body positivity and self-acceptance from a male's perspective, something unique to bring to the table.
Right. So let's talk about that. Tell us a little bit about this story, about, you know, how you struggled.
Well, in high school, in my freshman year of high school, I weighed 236 pounds. I was about 5'4", about 236 pounds, and this was back in 2013. When I first entered into high school, I was extremely shy. I was really reserved, and I was very reluctant about participating in clubs and organizations, and I didn't participate in any activities at all during the entire year because my frustrations with, you know, striving for perfection and just me having low self-esteem, me having a poor, you know, self-image really took its toll on different aspects of my life. And it got to the point where, you know, I was suicidal in the middle of my freshman year. And, you know, I was always considered to be, you know, the heavier student, but I didn't really view my weight as being a problem until I was about 10 or 11, but it reached its peak when I was about 14 years old. But then afterwards, during my sophomore year, I began dieting and exercising and just, you know, just figuring out, like, how I can adapt to a healthier lifestyle. How can I, how can I take my life back? How can I improve my self-esteem? How can I make my self-image into a positive one? So that's what I did, you know, in the beginning of my high school years. And I just felt like I was overlooked and undermined and underrated by a lot of my peers, but not just my peers, a lot of my educators as well. And I always validated myself through my grades and because of my grades, because I felt insecure and inadequate about my physical appearance. And, you know, because of how I appeared on the outside, that's why I always validated myself because of my grades. And if I didn't achieve, you know, the best grades, you know, I set unreasonably high expectations for myself in school. And I never really gave myself permission to make a mistake, and I was extremely hard on myself. And, you know, after a while, I had to, you know, realize that, you know, mistakes make you stronger, and that, you know, it doesn't define, one moment doesn't define the rest of your life. So that's what I've learned, you know, ever since high school, later on in high school, and after I've graduated.
Right.
And writing just became a form of therapy, you know, drawing, art, you know, different forms of art became forms of therapy for me, and I've been doing it ever since.
Awesome. So how were you inspired? I mean, you had this, you originally said you didn't see the weight as a problem. What inspired you to begin to exercise and eat probably more healthy food and then begin to work on your self-esteem? Because you were so young.
Well, I developed passion for, you know, body positivity and self-acceptance because, well, I wanted to, you know, get my weight under control, first of all, because of my health. You know, mm-hmm. juvenile diabetes was definitely a possibility for me at the time. You know, I wasn't really active, and, you know, I just needed to get up and move. And I needed, you know, I used food to suppress all of the stress. I used food as a form, as a way to escape from pressure. I used food mm-hmm. to, like, in a sense, just, you know, desensitize myself from reality. You know, it's almost like, you know, an alcoholic at a bar or, you know, someone,
right.
you know, with a bad drug habit. I used food just as that. And I just had to find a healthier way after I started adapting to a healthier lifestyle. I had to find a healthier way to cope with my stress, to cope with all of my frustration and all of my upsets.
Mm-hmm.
And writing and different forms of art became that. And I decided to establish this book series later on because I see that, you know, there are no males that openly talk about their struggles with their self-image in the media at all. And I just wanted to
yeah.
break that barrier and use my experience and my background and what I've been through and what I've encountered to my advantage in order to, you know, set the stage and to inspire someone else.
Awesome. So I know that you're very passionate about giving a voice to the male perspective. And one of the ways you've done it is by writing the book. And, of course, you speak on this subject because, as you said, there's no one in the media. There's no high-profile people talking about this. It's as if the issue doesn't exist. Why are you so passionate about this? Why is it so important to you?
Well, I think that I'm passionate about this, and I think that it's very imperative because, especially for millennials, we live in a world where social media advertises false hope. It doesn't really, social media, you know, it's tearing people's self-esteem apart. You know, the further we escape into a technologically advanced world, the more it destroys people's self-esteem. And cyberbullying is a huge issue, especially for, you know, middle schoolers and high schoolers. Because of social media, a lot of kids, you know, they look at TV, they look at social media, they look at magazines, and they look at all of these Photoshopped images of men and women, you know, in like the, you know, ideal, with the ideal standards and with the, you know, with just with, you know, what they think it means to be beautiful in the public eye, you know, in a sense, the Eurocentric standards of beauty are what is showcased, you know, most of the time. And a lot of kids can't really grasp that concept, but they just mimic, they try to emulate what they see. And I'm,
right.
And I'm speaking out about this because I know that, you know, if I struggle with this, I know that there are millions and millions of men out there that struggle with the same thing. Unfortunately, it's historical, ancestral, and generational for men to just, you know, have a masculine and tough guy attitude and to not cry. A lot of people say men don't cry, which is garbage. I think it's garbage. And,
right.
you know, especially men from older generations, they were just taught how to just suppress their feelings and how to just, you know, pretend like everything's okay when it's not. But in reality, it's really telling them that their pain doesn't matter.
Wow.
That's
a very
good really
statement.
Saying.
That's so true.
And it's just, that's why I'm setting the stage for not just men of my background, but, you know, boys for future generations, men for future generations who can, you know, look up to me and just hear my story, read my books, and to just follow me and just, you know, just use my story to just, I can just be a blessing to them, you know, because a lot of, unfortunately, you know, because of cyberbullying, a lot of, you know, children commit suicide behind that because, you know, social media gives people platforms and it just gives them an excuse to say or do whatever they want over the internet without any consequences or repercussions. And that's not acceptable.
Right. Okay. You know, go ahead.
And also, and the thing about it is that, you know, a lot of celebrities and a lot of public figures, a lot of them, you know, have internet trolls, And it's only because, you know, because the people are anonymous and because social media gives you, you know, a fake or a false identity in a sense, a lot of people use that to their advantage. And everybody has, gives their perspectives and everyone has an opinion, and it all comes at you simultaneously. And it can be intimidating for one person.
Right, right. You know, what struck me of the, all the things you just said is when you say, when you're telling a man not to cry or anyone not to cry, you're saying your pain doesn't matter. And that's really what you're trying to say is your pain does matter. Your pain matters. And that's a really, to me, that's a very deep and powerful statement, that your pain does matter. Even girls, when I was a little girl, I was told not to cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Stop crying. Stop crying. Why are you crying for? So even though women, it's more accepted for women to cry, depending on the family that you were raised in, sometimes crying is unacceptable. So I grew up holding back my tears and wanting to cry and feeling embarrassed if I cried in front of anybody. I can't even imagine what it's like for a male, for a man, because or a young boy, because it's even more forceful for that. So I think what you're doing is amazing, and I love that you've set up this platform, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on my show. So tell us a little bit about what role authenticity played in all of this for you.
Well, whenever, well, you know, in my first book is about my self-image growing up, and I'm, you know, when I was writing my first book, I had to make it as authentic as possible, because in order to help, you know, someone, in order to inspire others, you know, you have to be vulnerable and you have to be willing, you have to have enough courage and you have to be willing to expose yourself. Regardless of what other people think, regardless of what other people may say, you have to be able to just be vulnerable and expose yourself. And, you know, by exposing yourself and by sharing how you genuinely feel about, you know, whatever your personal struggles are, whatever your weaknesses may be, that is what, you know, that's where your healing is. Uncovering your weaknesses, that's where your healing is. And, you know, when I was writing this first book and when I started to establish this series, you know, I just had to build up enough courage and, you know, I had to build up enough courage to just be able to just tell my story and just to inspire others. And the thing about this book series is that even though it is for middle schoolers and high schoolers, everybody can take something out of it. And with this first book, each and every chapter, you can find yourself somewhere in there, or you can, you know, you can think of a circumstance or situation you may have been in the past, you know, that, you know, you can compare and contrast and say, okay, this happened to me, that happened to me. I felt this way in a certain situation when this person made me feel this way. And truth be told, you don't know what your flaws, your weaknesses, or your insecurities are until someone else points them out to you. And usually that's when it becomes an insecurity. You don't know what your insecurities are, you know, when you're born or when you're just you're, because your self-concept may be different from other people's, you know, perceptions of you. But then, you know, when that starts to fester, that's when it becomes an insecurity, and that's when you begin to look at it as a weakness.
Right, right. So when you were talking go ahead.
And it doesn't have to be about your physical appearance. It could be anything about you that, you know, they point out to you that, you know, that they may displease or something that they don't like about you. It doesn't have to necessarily be about your physical appearance. It could be about just who you are in general.
Right. Yeah. I remember when I was a child, they used to tell me I was clumsy because I would drop stuff and, you know, it's really early in the morning, you're making a lot of noise, and I was always told I was clumsy, so I always believed I was clumsy. So, and that has nothing to do with physical appearance. So you were talking about your book, and I love that, you know, what you're talking about is writing authentically, you know, writing the truth about you. It's very powerful, it's very healing for you, but it's healing for other people, because when they read, I call it connecting heart to heart. They could connect with your circumstances because they've gone through some of it. And now they know that there's someone else who's gone through this, and not only gone through it, but been able to create something successful from it. So I think it's wonderful. What advice do you have for a child, teenager, or even a young man or woman who's experiencing now what you've experienced in high school?
Well, I would definitely tell, if I were to rewind and if I were to go back to 2013 when I was heavier or overweight, or if I were to just go back to middle school, I would definitely tell, you know, that, you know, little girl, that little boy, or even, you know, a young man or a young woman that, you know, you can be your, I mean, the best part of self-acceptance is just being yourself, and you can be yourself and an individual if you are comfortable with everybody not liking you because of who you are and what you stand for. If you're comfortable with not following the in crowd, you know, that definitely pertains to middle schoolers and high schoolers. If you're comfortable with being an individual and not following cliques, so to speak, you know, and if you're comfortable with, you know, people, you know, not liking you because you have your own style, your own way of doing things, is just, you know, you have your own hobbies and interests. You know, if you're if you're comfortable with people not, you know, everybody not liking you because of that, then you can be yourself. That's the price of being yourself. People disliking you for you being yourself. And unfortunately, everybody does not have the ability to be themselves. And definitely with social media, you know, social media desensitizes people as well, because it gives people this fantasy. And it, they have, it, I mean, social media, it's not reality. What people see on social media is not reality. And then people start to compare their circumstances and their situations to what they see on social media. And I feel like with social media, it's a blessing and a curse, because it's a blessing because you can connect with whoever you want, you know, and that's what it was designed for essentially. And initially it was designed for you to connect with people in an easier manner, but it's a curse because it makes a lot of people insecure.
Yes, exactly. I want to talk about that more when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. If you'd like to call in and ask some questions of Nelson, you can call in at 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Listen now to husband and father of three kids, Damon Burton, as he shares his stories of why authenticity matters, both personally and professionally. Burton founded a successful search engine optimization agency, www.seonational.com, in 2007, with clients around the world, including MBA teams and Shark Tank featured businesses. He shares how he created a lifestyle by design and how you can too. Thanks for listening to Damon Burton on Dare to Be Authentic. You can also learn more from Damon as he blogs about life and entrepreneurship at www.damonburton.com.
Are you looking to become a better leader, whether that's in business, in sports, or in life, and you haven't found a book yet to help you get to that game-changing aha moment? Well, we have the book for you, Tighten the Lug Nuts, The Principles of Balanced Leadership. Tighten the Lug Nuts will help you get to that game-changing leadership moment. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks, or at 360managementservices.com. That's the number 360managementservices.com. Pick up your copy today and start changing your leadership styles.
I struggled with alcohol and drugs, which is a big part of why I succeed in helping families help the ones they love accept help and achieve lasting recovery.
If you know someone who is addicted to drugs or alcohol but you don't know what to do, call Steve Bruno, interventionist and referral specialist, for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Call 747-220-2287 or visit stevebruno.com. Again, that's 747-220-2287 or visit stevebruno.com.
I'm Sue Matthews, the author of Paint Your Hair Blue, a celebration of life with hope for tomorrow in the face of pediatric cancer. PaintYourHairBlue.com. My book is about my daughter Taylor's journey through cancer. Your heart will break and soar, sometimes simultaneously, as you learn about Taylor's fierce courage and unremitting resolve to not permit cancer to scar her spirit or body. You'll come away from the book with a vivid understanding of how truly short and precious life is, and a greater willingness to add more color as we go along.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio with guest Nelson Brown. He's speaking from a man's perspective on how it feels to battle low self-esteem, depression, and loneliness. So, Nelson, let's just talk just briefly about this whole social media thing, and you said that it's not real. I so agree with you. I've heard said, and it's so true, that when we look at social media and we see someone's profile and they're posting all this wonderful stuff about their life, and we're having a bad day, right? We're comparing our worst day to their best day, or even to things they're posting which aren't true. So it's a false reality. It's not for real. But many people don't understand this, so I'm glad that you brought that point forward. So let's take some time now to talk about your book, The Beauty in Us, Our Reality.
Well, my first book, you know, the memoir, is about how I struggled with my self-esteem growing up. It starts at me at the age of 5 in kindergarten, and it concludes with me at my graduation from high school. And, you know, it's about 74 pages, I'll say. Yeah, it's 74 pages. There are 17 chapters. It's an easy read. And it's just about how I managed to juggle different relationships, you know, from the age of 5 until 18. And it also talks about how my peers, my educators, my family members, my friends, and just people around me, how they have had a negative influence on me or even a positive influence on me. You know, it talks about family values, and I talk a little bit about, you know, colorism from a black guy's perspective. You know, me, my experiences with colorism later on in the book. It definitely talks about relationships with, you know, within yourself and with others, family dynamics, family values, what it means to, you know, and it definitely dives into, you know, what it means to grow up as a kid, you know, as a millennial, you know, with all of the distractions and with, you know, everything that is thrown at us, you know, as a millennial. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, you know, our generation is the most disrespected generation. I feel like our generation is under the most pressure to be perfect. And I feel as though, you know, I mean, no other generation has to experience what we experience, because, you know, a lot of people have these false perceptions about younger people, saying that, you know, they don't want to work, they don't want to go to school, they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that. And it just people, you know, because of the media and because of what all of the negativity that is displayed and that is broadcasted in the media, people forget that, you know, there are young people out here doing great things. You know, we have great things to bring to the table. We all have different passions. We all have different talents. And, you know, this book definitely takes you on my journey of self-discovery. And like I said, you know, you can put a circumstance or a situation that you may have experienced growing up, you know, or, you know, even with kids, you know, a 12-year-old reading it, a 10-year-old reading it, an 8-year-old reading it, they'll know what to expect once they get to a certain point in their life, and they can use this book, you know, as a tool or as a guide, just remind them that, you know, you don't have to experience what I've experienced. You know, you don't have to feel insecure about yourself. Because, you know, the classmates that, you know, may bully you now and the people that, you know, you see now, you're not going to see 5 years from now, 10 years from now when you're an adult.
Right.
You know, these people are not going to exist. And they're not even going to be a passing thought in your mind once you find your place in this world. So it's just a moment of time. And a lot of kids don't understand that your differences are actually your strength. And kids don't understand the differences of strength. A lot of people look at their differences as being problems.
That's right. Because we're not taught authenticity. We're taught to follow and be the same. And the schools teach that as well. We want everybody to be the same, get the same grades, do everything the same, but that's not us. We're made different, every one of us, completely different with different gifts. I love the part that you say about that your experience, you know, that these talents that you have, these are talents that you have. And some of those things that we're so different about that at first other people may reject may be our biggest gift. It may be our biggest gift to the world. It's something that we need to bring out to the world. Very nice. So what's the main message that you want to bring to the public, Nelson?
Well, I just want to tell all of your listeners that, I mean, you know, they now, you know, now that I'm in the public eye, you know, I have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to, you know, take my readers and listeners on a journey of self-discovery. You know, I'm a student here at the Community College of Baltimore County in Catonsville, Maryland. I'm an evangelist at the Messiah Community Church. You know, I work at the Maryland Department of the Environment, and I'm just an activist. I'm a male body positivity activist. You know, as a leader, as a role model in the public eye, it's my responsibility to set the stage for people who struggle with what I struggle with. It's my responsibility to ensure that, you know, no, the next generation, you know, kids behind me, they don't have to seek external validation or validation from social media or from other people in order to feel good about themselves. They can seek validation internally, and they can discover more things about themselves without the approval of others. You don't owe your happiness to anybody, and you don't need anyone else's permission to be yourself. You know, that's what, you know, self-acceptance is all about. And the body positivity piece just, you know, says that, you know, I'm perfect just the way I am. As long as I'm not doing anything detrimental to my health, as long as I'm not destroying myself in any way, if I'm not doing anything self-destructive, or if I'm not doing anything to harm anybody else, you know, who cares, you know?
Right. That's right. I love the part that you talk about the millennials, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on my show and your friend Dom, who referred you to me, having two millennials almost in a row, two young men, both young men that are black, it makes me very excited because I cannot stand when people talk, trash talk the millennials, saying they're lazy, they don't want to work, they're entitled, they're this, you know, putting them all in one big box as if that one generation was worthless. It just infuriates me. So it's my honor to have you and to showcase young men or even women. I'm hoping some women will come forth too like you to say, look, this is what we're doing. We're this age and this is what we're doing. And I just love what you're doing and I just applaud you for it because it takes a lot of courage. That's why I called my show Dare to Be Authentic. It takes a lot of guts to do what you're doing, to be transparent, to tell the truth about yourself in order to help people and heal people. It's a wonderful thing. So let's talk about how to get a hold of you and your book. So the listener knows. How do we get a hold of your book?
Well, my book is available on Amazon. The Beauty in Us, Our Reality is available on Amazon. It's available in the paperback format as well as the ebook format. So if your listeners have Kindles, you know, you can read it as an ebook. It costs $10. It's on Amazon. Or you can buy the paperback copy for $20. That's available on Amazon as well. You can connect with me directly at brownnelsone@gmail.com. You can, you know, once you read the book, you can shoot me an email, you know, with questions, comments, or concerns, or to just tell me that you enjoyed the book. Or you can, you know, leave a review on the page where my book is listed. You can, your listeners are free to, you know, write their reviews to my email address or on Amazon. Or you can connect with me through LinkedIn at Nelson Brown. You can just shoot me a message. You know, if you want me to speak on your talk show, if you want to sit down and interview with me, or if you just have questions, comments, or concerns about me or what I'm doing, or if you want to purchase a book or just anything, you know, just reach out to me. I promise I'll respond as soon as I can. And like I said, you know, I'm 19 years old. You know, I'll be 20 this year, you know, but, you know, me being young does not mean that, you know, I can't make an impact.
That's
so,
right.
You know, just feel
right.
free to
Wonderful.
Tell your listeners and to just feel free to just ask me whatever you want about what I'm doing. You know.
Awesome. And you can also find Nelson on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. You go to my radio show page, and you will find him there with a link to the book and also with a link to his LinkedIn profile if you want to connect with him personally. Maybe you have a child in middle school. Maybe you have a young adult in college or even in high school. that are struggling and you want to connect them, go ahead, connect them with Nelson. He's doing some great work. And it's been just absolutely wonderful having you on my show. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, I thank you for the opportunity to share my story on this platform.
Wonderful. And guests, thanks for being with us, listeners. Tell everybody about the show. Spread the link around. It'll be the replay there. And join us next time for Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.